Hey, if you want to make your life harder as a copywriter, go out there and get a bunch of bad clients. If you want a bunch more stress, if you want to make a lot less, if you want to spend a lot more time working on a lot bigger headaches and just feel generally frustrated with your career and your life, go out there and get a bunch of terrible clients. Or, hey, if you want a much easier career and business, if you want more success more easily, if you want higher income, if you want bigger wins and better results, if you want to get paid well as a copywriter, go out there and get some great clients. That's been my chosen path since 2010. And frankly, it's paid off big. It's been awesome working with some of the best clients in the industry. And my success is just way more fulfilling when you're working with great clients. And it's fulfilling in lots more ways. It comes easier. And so, like, the question then becomes, what makes a great client? What makes an awesome copywriting client? And I actually got this list from Clayton Makepeace a few years back, and I'd written articles about it in the past. I've never made a video on it, and so I figured I would revisit this list and kind of give my reflections from today's Roy, right? It's been a few years. And so this list, with a big hat tip to Clayton Makepeace for the original bullet points, is what makes a perfect copywriting client, and I'll give my reflections on each item as well. These are the proven direct response marketing, copywriting, and entrepreneurship success strategies you can use today to write your own ticket and create the life you want. I am Roy Furr, and this is Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. Now, here's today's breakthrough. Okay, so what makes a perfect copywriting client? Number one, products that deliver what they promise. Services that deliver what they promise. Offers that deliver what they promise. One of the most terrible things that can happen in your marketing is to be really good at selling something that is junk, because you're just going to accelerate your downfall. And so if you're working with clients that are selling junk, selling stuff that does not deliver on the promises that you make, you're going to have more customer complaints, you're going to have chargebacks, you're going to have customer service issues, you're going to have potential legal action against you. There's all sorts of negative consequences that can come your way from being really good at selling bad products and services. And so the number one thing, and it seems like it should be completely obvious, but for whatever reason, the direct response world, the world in which copywriting as like a selling function exists, seems to attract a mix of people who are awesome, who deliver great who create great products and services, great offers for people that really help and enrich people's lives, that solve problems, that open up brand new opportunities for people. And it attracts these people who are just like, how can I maximize the number of sales that I make, the number of dollar bills that I extract from people, regardless of what kind of outcome that they have. And that negative contingent of the direct response world, that is a place to go to your expedient demise. That's a place where, you know, when you're working with that type of client, there's so much negativity and toxicity that comes out of that that is going to eventually come back to you. And you just don't want that. So the number one thing, you want a perfect copywriting client. They're going to create and sell great products that actually fulfill the promises that you make in your marketing. And the great thing about that is when you feel like ethically in tune with the products and services that you're selling, it comes through as this extra level of almost subconscious confidence that goes into your copy, where you can sell it better, you can sell it more easily, because you have faith that that product, that service is going to enrich the person's life. And so start there. Start with clients who have products and services that deliver what they promise. Number two is a copy-centric culture. That is, a culture, a business culture, a entrepreneurship, a company culture where they actually elevate the copywriter to a high position within the company. They recognize that Direct response copywriting is generating leads, customers, sales, and profits for the business. It is doing the selling job of the business multiplied through media. It's driving revenue, and that revenue is actually paying for a lot of things inside the business. And so they highly value the copywriter and the copywriting role. And when you can deliver great copy, they're going to highly value you. They're going to pay you well. That's what a copy-centric culture is and does. Oftentimes the owner of the business, oftentimes they're the founder, and oftentimes they wrote copy in the early days of the business. They might still write copy. They might be what I've called a copywriter entrepreneur. That's someone who's on that journey from like discovering copywriting and turning it into being an entrepreneur. And no matter where they're at, like at some point fairly early on, they start recruiting help, which can be you. But that makes them value copywriting so much more because they know how difficult it can be and they know how important it is to driving results in the business. The next thing, number three, is a sizable customer list. That is a business that already has a big list of people who have done business with them and because their products deliver what they promise, who'd be more likely to do business with them again in the future. The great thing about a client like this is they often can just send out a couple emails and they can make a lot of money show up. And if you're doing marketing with them, a lot of times your initial tests can go out to this sizable customer list. They can generate some sales. And then if those offers are also designed for acquisition, you can roll that marketing out to the public, but have that initial sales spike that comes from selling to the customer list to begin with. And so having a sizable customer list of people who have happily done business with them in the past and who will happily do business with them again in the future, that is a huge success factor in being able to make your copy pay off quickly. It also means probably that they can pay you a lot more because they know there's going to be that initial sales spike. They can pay you a good fee and they can probably pay royalties as well because there's less cost to acquiring those customers or to making sales to those customers as well. Number four is demonstrated list growth. So this is basically, in some way, shape, or form, you can tell that this business is actively out there acquiring customers. They're actively growing their audience. They're actively growing their user base, whatever it is. It is a company that is proactively spending money on marketing or attracting customers in some way that is going to be centered on your copy, on your funnels, on your sales letters or landing pages or email or whatever, but they are growing and they're growing and they're growing because in a business, it's not that customers can't last forever. Customers can last forever. But oftentimes it is the new customers that are really feeding the business. And you should always focus on the lifetime value of the customer. But if you're not feeding the business with new customers, if you're not bringing new customers in the front door, that business is just not a great place to be as a skilled copywriter because there's just less opportunity in that. Whereas a good copywriter who goes into a business that is really proactively growing their list, their customer base, that copywriter often has way more opportunity because as soon as they create a success, that business is going to reinvest and reinvest and reinvest. Which gets us to number five, which is a testing obsession. That was Clayton's word, obsession, a testing obsession. And basically that means that the client values the opinion of the marketplace as demonstrated by their willingness to respond to a piece of marketing as the ultimate decision maker as to whether or not the marketing is good marketing or not. So you, if you're in a business where the owner thinks that they know what works in marketing to their market, that's like a big, you know, flashing red light saying, meh, 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 get out of here. Like it's alarm bells, right? So the testing obsession, like the marketer who thinks, oh, I know what my market is going to respond to, so let me just tell you what to say. Number one, that's really hard to work in as a copywriter because we can't read minds. As much as they may want us to, and as much as we may try to, we can't read minds. We can't read the mind of the owner who thinks that, oh, they know what the market wants. And so the owner is going to just be a pain to us and is going to be constantly editing our copy and telling us we don't know and blah, blah, blah. And it's going to be terrible. But then number two, the owner doesn't know. Even the best copywriters in the world don't know what the market is going to respond to. They just have an educated guess. And so the testing obsession that comes in, we test, we figure out what works. And the owner may have their bias and I may have my bias, but with a great client, what happens is we say, well, here's my opinion. I think this is gonna work best. Oh, here's my opinion. I think this is gonna work best. Does this justify a test? Is this maybe a big enough change that it justifies a test between these two things? Or, you know, do we want to go with one of these opinions initially or what, right? But the whole thing is we let the market decide what's going to be what's going to be most effective. And the market is the ultimate decider. Whether that owner believes that they know best or not, the market will be the ultimate decider as to whether something is effective marketing or not. And so this testing obsession, it gives power to the copywriters because the copywriter can say, well, can we test this idea? Can we test this idea? Can we test this idea? And the other thing that comes out of that is the more you test, the more profits you're going to generate because you're going to figure out what works best. You're going to improve the conversions. And that's all going to feed back into more results for the business and more success for you. Which brings us to, I guess this is number six, fail fast attitude. And that is, hey, let's try something. And if it doesn't work, that's fine. We'll pull back and we'll try the next thing. And let's try something else. And let's, you know, if that doesn't work, let's try the next thing and the next thing. And this attitude, there's a saying, money loves speed. And the fail fast attitude is, hey, failure's not a problem unless you let it stop you. Failure's not a problem unless you let it, like, you know, put the brakes on for months on end or years on end or whatever, right? It's just, hey, we're going to try something. Did that work? Oh, no, it didn't. Let's try something else. Oh, this one works. Awesome. So this fail fast attitude is just, hey, let's get things in the marketplace and let's see what works. Number seven is smart marketing managers. Smart marketing managers. So the smart marketing managers, this is the people who, number one, they are often your point of contact inside the marketing department for your copy. And so they should be sharp about direct marketing. They should understand direct marketing. They should understand copywriting roles. They should understand testing. They should understand these different components. And they should be able to do the best with the copy that you deliver to make it the most successful. The other thing that the marketing manager is often in charge of is driving eyeballs, driving clicks, driving traffic to your promotion, to your funnel, to whatever it is that you do. And so those people are able to get your marketing in front of the best people. They are able to optimize with campaign structure. They're able to understand, for example, acceptable cost of acquisition of a new customer. They're able to understand all of these different factors that go into marketing campaign success outside of the copywriting. So for example, if you get a copywriter who can generate a sale for $50 for a $50 product, like it generate $50 in revenue on this product, and the response rate or whatever, it costs $50 to get this customer for this. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, with some marketing managers, that would be considered a bad thing. The campaign's not profitable. Oh no, shut it all down. With some marketing managers, they would say, well, we actually have an acceptable budget for 6 months or 12 months in order to make back the cost of acquisition of a customer. And so basically we're willing to go negative for up to 12 months in acquiring a customer, knowing that we're going to generate a certain amount of revenue within those first 12 months. And the amount of revenue that we're going to generate within those first 12 months is, let's say, $500 instead of 50. And oftentimes we are happy acquiring a customer for anything less than $500 because we know that our business for the purpose of growth, we will be successful for the long run if we acquire customers for anything less than $500. So the first marketing manager didn't understand any of this. And so they said, this acquisition campaign is not profitable, so let's shut it all down. The second one says, hey, You're getting me customers for 1/10 of my budget? I'm gonna throw a ton of money at this. In fact, I'm gonna spread this as wide as I can, and we're gonna start getting customers at $100 instead of 50, at 200, 300, 400, even $500, which means we have a much bigger traffic universe, list universe. And so we're gonna get a whole bunch more eyeballs on your marketing because this is working so well. So that's a huge difference for smart marketing managers. 8 is a fair compensation structure. You could say generous, you could say whatever, but basically, copywriting has an important role. Copywriting is not the only thing. And as a freelance copywriter, you're not taking on the risk. You don't have any of the traffic costs. You don't have any of that stuff. You don't have the office operations. You don't have customer service. You're not managing any of that. And so while many copywriters would love to like make 50% of the revenue on a sale, that's not necessarily realistic, but a compensation structure that, for example, gives you an upfront fee that acknowledges that there is some risk that, you know, they may change directions and just not use your copy. And so it's not fair for you to just get paid on performance if they're not upholding their end of the bargain. So there's some upfront fee that can never be clawed back from you, but then there is an additional upside for the performance of your marketing. So maybe it's a royalty, maybe it's a performance bonus, maybe it's a per lead bonus, who knows, right? And in fact, I've done training on copywriting royalties and pay for performance that goes into a lot more detail about the different ways you could structure that. But a fair compensation structure is incredibly valuable. And then the last one, number 9, is a reputation for paying in full and fast. So you don't want to be, I remember talking to somebody, he wasn't even in copywriting, he was in like the tech space. And he was running his own business for a while and he had all these contractors and really successful at this business. But he ended up having to shut it down because all of his clients were taking 90 days to pay. And he could not afford to float all these people's salaries and all this stuff. And he said, it's just easier if I just do like my own thing as a solo freelancer, or I forget exactly what he did. I think he might have become an employee for somebody else doing a similar structure, because he didn't want to deal with all that account receivable, like all that headache, right? And so clients with a reputation for paying in full and fast are great copywriting clients. So quick recap: products that deliver what they promise, a copy-centric culture, sizable customer list, demonstrated list growth, a testing obsession, a fail-fast attitude, smart marketing managers, fair compensation structure, and number 9, a reputation for paying in full and fast. That's what makes a great copywriting client. Now, if you do want to go deeper into getting great copywriting clients and making a living as a copywriter, I'll include a couple links in the description. One will be to the copywriting royalties and pay for performance training. That's part of my BTMS Insiders training library, which makes link number 2. BTMS Insiders is like, it's like Netflix, but for copywriting and marketing training. So you pay one low fee, you get access to the royalties training, as well as the entire catalog of marketing and copywriting training. It's an incredible deal. You just pay and you use it and you can, you know, binge watch like Netflix, or you can just get in there as you need stuff, whatever. And then the third link that I'll make sure to include is to my book, The Copywriter's Guide to Getting Paid, which is just lessons learned in my first few years as a copywriter and that other people have actually used, just like an individual lesson in there and applied it. And one guy, he got $15,000 in client work after applying that. Like, I don't know what you'll get, right? But The Copywriter's Guide to Getting Paid, it's just some fundamental truths about the copywriting business. A lot of people teach the skill of copywriting. This is the business of copywriting and how to actually get paid from it. And so that link is in the description as well. I'm Roy Furr. This is Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. I would love it if you leave a comment or review with this episode. Let me know on a scale 1 to 10 how valuable you found this list, with a big credit to Clayton Makepeace for this one, for the initial list, of course, with my insights and reflections tacked on. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how valuable did you find it and why? Leave that in the comments. Plus, tap the like button before you go so you get more content like this delivered to you. And so the magical algorithms of the internet will deliver more content like this to you. And so this content to more people like you who will find it valuable. hey, I'm here. This is off the cuff. I'm just trying to provide a ton of value. I screw up sometimes in my call to action. But hey, if you tap that like button, the algorithms know what to do. Also, make sure you share this with other people who will find it valuable, and subscribe before you go. You can subscribe here. You can also go to breakthroughmarketingsecrets.com, sign up for my daily emails Monday through Friday, including episode notifications and more exclusive content for email subscribers. Once again, I am Roy Furr. This is Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. I always aim for 10 out of 10 value. I hope I've delivered it here, and I will catch you again in the next episode. I'll see you soon. Bye. Thank you once again for tuning in to this daily episode of Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. Remember, check out the links with this episode for even more value. Now make sure you like, comment, share, subscribe, and engage in every way you can to keep this show going and growing and delivering daily value to you. I'll catch you soon for your next big breakthrough.